second P is the popcorn popper. And this image of science came to me several years ago when I was working at UC Berkeley and Joint Genome Institute doing a genome project. It's in the realm of my thinking at the same period of time that how funny that we give the work of three people to each young assistant professor that is starting out in the academic path to see if they'll sink or swim versus giving the work of three people to three people. So the popcorn popper is my image of what it's like to be in research science, in academia specifically, when one is having to focus on educating, giving lectures and training graduate students. One is keeping up with the literature and the intense pressure to publish your research and to have the research be accomplished in the first place, either through your oversight or your own hands, and to obtain grant funding. And that's not even including academic responsibilities in all the meetings that there are and outreach, if there's any outreach, departmental duties. It's like being in a popcorn popper, just popping around like crazy and trying to keep up with yourself. What's really interesting about this popcorn popper, in my image of it, is that what happens when you pop out of the popper, the pressure becomes too great, the steam is too high. The people that pop out so far from that cauldron that there's no interface for change. They aren't affecting the kernels that are still inside the popper. It's still running around like crazy, doing its own thing. And I think that this is a real problem. It's an incredible problem right now because we're at a point in time where outside of that popper are not only those scientists who have left that system, of which there are increasing numbers, but the rest of the planet's out there too. Society, various ecosystems and species and sort of everything besides that intense ecosystem inside academia. And I think that it's one reason that the impact that science is having, of which there's a lot of concern, we're part of Advancing and Evaluating Societal Impact of Science, ACES, a European-led international organization to look at impact. You have impact statement and impact criteria in the UK and Europe, and there are certainly a lot of impact criteria and assessments here in the United States as well. And yet, we don't really seem to be going hugely ahead of the curve. And I think this model of science coming in on a white horse with the thing to save the day is part of why we're so wrapped up in systems that ultimately are not working to the advantage of the larger whole, and even to the advantage of the scientists that are in that popcorn popper. I also say that it's hard to imagine that we would get the kind of feedback and resetting and getting back on track when science and technology have unintended consequences, because after all, in that popcorn popper are a lot of abuses of the system. It's built on the backs of graduate students and postdocs that are cheap labor for the basic research to be accomplished by. That only in recent years are we looking at their own individual needs as actual members of the workforce, because in this idea that they were just being trained, we forgot that they might be in these many years, over a decade of their lives, they might be needing things like health insurance and family leave, and they might be doing family formation, having babies, and that we should be setting up ways to do that effectively and still survive in the popcorn popper. So we've been misusing our own youth in science, our own young generations of scientists coming up through the ranks. And I think that we also are easily hijacked in terms of unintended outcomes. We aren't taking time to look at our values, the what if, the what happens, what so, what do we do now? We've sort of done a hands-off throwing solutions over the wall and then haven't got a really good process for dealing with recalibration and dealing with unintended outcomes. And also we have ethical issues that are so deep, I don't even want to talk about them in this short talk about the popcorn popper. But if we don't talk about them, if we don't slow it down, if we don't really take an assessment about what is this model that we're running science through, the popcorn popper model is not providing what we need right now, either for those who are in the system trying to keep up with themselves, perhaps even have it dialed in on how they've got it working for themselves, but definitely for what science is producing and how it is to be a scientist right now. And don't forget about all those kernels that are outside of the popper. There are a lot of people who've been in the corridors of science, who have gotten PhDs in science, who have been finally attuned to the learnings and the education that advanced studies in science provide, who are no longer in the enterprise. Some of the most creative people are the ones that leave that popcorn popper. So we have a need right now to really look at our systems of science, to look at the moral underpinnings of why we would keep such a system alive, and to look at what kind of courage and moral imperative we have for major, deep structural change. Because we need a much richer interface, not only between the scientists who are no longer in the cauldron, but also the whole rest of the system that needs to have a very porous interface and interaction with what's going on inside of science. You can even think of it in terms of understanding what's going on with this incredible place we find ourselves with a pandemic that is affecting the entire planet. So I say that our popcorn popper needs to slow down. We need to take the flame out. We need to open that whole system, and we need to rebuild.